Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. It's now been more than 6 weeks since an EF3 tornado tore through parts of St. Louis, St. Louis County, and the Metro East. Among the hardest hit areas was a neighborhood near Fairground Park on the city's north side. And many of the 10,000 plus buildings that sustained damage from that storm were more than just physical structures. They were homes. North St. Louisan Gloria Nolan joined us a handful of days after the tornado to share her perspective on the disaster. And she's back with us today to share how she and her family have been doing since the storm tore the roof off their home in the O'Fallon neighborhood, a duplex where they lived on one side and rented out the other. Gloria, thank you so much for coming back to the show today.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you so much for having me back.
So the first conversation that I referred to in the intro was just 4 days after the tornado, and in a Facebook post that you put up right after your appearance on this show, you wrote that you saw crews to come clear debris and Ameren putting up power lines in your neighborhood. What did that mean to you and your family?
Well, for the cleanup, it was really beneficial to us. Our roof was on the ground. We had a tree down in the backyard. And so we really could use that support. But when it came to getting the power turned back on, we were one of the houses marked with the red tag. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have, we weren't able to get the power on mm-hmm. initially. So that was... Yeah, it wasn't helpful to people in my situation to have that done.
And how about your neighbors? You know, you talked about those who helped you and whom you helped in return. What was it like to experience that, like to see that there was some work being done?
So the folks that helped us in that situation, they were like friends, some of our school friends. I call them school moms. They all banded together to help. And they came over and we just basically started picking up in our yard. And then we went from house to house down the block and around the corner. And so that was really that gave me a lot of hope. Mm-hmm. And it was great to see everybody kind of pulling together. But that was initially, and kind of now it's died down quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. And you'd mentioned that your house had a red tag or sticker on it. What did that mean? You know, you mentioned the electricity, too. I mean, those things together, where did that put you?
It put us out of the house. It made us uninhabitable. The red sticker meant that it wasn't safe to live there, and the living conditions could have been dangerous or hazardous. Mm-hmm. So, for us, it meant that we couldn't live there, and it also meant that our tenants could not live in the structure.
Mm-hmm. There's been a word used a lot in tornado coverage, and that's the word displacement. Now, that is more than a word, you know, or a single move. How has that been true for you and your family?
And displacement, it's means that everything is uprooted. Mm-hmm. If you think about your day to day, I mean, you come home, you know, you put your bag down, you put your keys somewhere, you want to cook dinner, like all of those pieces are a part of the displacement. So now, even now that we're in a temporary living situation, our family, I can't cook dinner even the way that I used to because of all of the things that I had in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. I don't have that now.
Yeah.
I don't have access to my things. My quality of sleep is different. I'm not sleeping in my bed. It's huge. I have to remember that I'm not going home. I'm going somewhere else mm-hmm. To lay my head at night. And the same for my kids and my husband, too.
And your pet as well?
Oh, my pet. Oh, bless her little heart.
Yeah.
She's a little tiny Maltese poodle mix. And we couldn't take her to the friend's house who took us in at first. Initially, we stayed at a friend's house for about 2 weeks. And so she was staying at my cousin's house. And then from there, she went to the dog groomers, because when we went to the hotel, it was a pet-friendly hotel. But we were on the sixth floor, so we couldn't get her out to go potty and all that. So we had to, you know, she had to be in a different place. And so that reunion was really lovely, too, finally, when we got to get her back.
So with all of this, you know, there's the displacement that you are experiencing as a homeowner. But as we noted, you are the owner of a duplex, and this means that you are a landlord. You've had to take care of your tenants who lived on the other side of the duplex that is your home. How has your personal understanding of displacement informed how you've worked with those tenants?
So we wanted to take care of them first and foremost. Like, I look at the tenants as family. We exchange Christmas gifts. We, you know, talk on a regular basis, and we wanted to make sure that they were safe as well. One of the things that my husband, Kevin, and I, we decided to work with a rental agency. And so they kind of kept the books for us and did those services of any repairs and things like that. And so we contacted them on behalf of the tenants to make sure that they could have someplace else. So they looked in their catalog of apartment rentals and spaces or houses, and they were able to find a new place for the tenants. So the tenants actually got into a space before we did.
Mm-hmm.
They were set up in a new living situation. Although it wasn't furnished, they did have somewhere to go, and we wanted to make sure of that because we cared so much about their well-being.
And was putting them somewhere or getting them somewhere that's close to where you were, was that a priority?
We really tried, but it just was not feasible.
Mm-hmm.
The housing stock in St. Louis, as we know, and it's well documented, we talk about it all the time, you know, having a place to rent or live in the city, the housing stock is pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
And so for what we offered, a 4-bedroom, 1.5 space, 2,000 square feet of living space, that wasn't available in the city, so they did have to go to North County.
Mm-hmm. And you all have had to go to South City, right?
We have. And so we were finally able to work with our insurance company, and they were able to find a furnished townhome for us. But it is in South City, so we're, you know, off the beaten path that we're used to,
mm-hmm.
to as well. One thing that I wanted to add to about just North City living, it's not that everybody that lives there is someone that's trapped or have no other options. It's a beautiful community, and the people there, it has its issues for sure, but there's a real strong sense of community and families living there together that want to be there. And so I grew up in that neighborhood. I moved away and went to college, but I was blocks down from Beaumont High School and came back to be there on purpose with my husband and my two kids, Evan mm-hmm. and Dylan.
I'm speaking with Gloria Nolan, who is a homeowner in the O'Fallon neighborhood in North St. Louis. Her family's duplex lost its roof and sustained other significant damage during the May 16th EF3 tornado. What you've just mentioned, Gloria, about people not being trapped, they are exercising agency. They're making a choice to be where they are. I think it's very apropos of the conversations that are going on around response and now moving to recovery. And when you last spoke with us, you talked about the way, you know, friends, neighbors, and even strangers, just everyday people, were coming together to help respond to tornado effects. And it seems that spirit of community was definitely there. But what kinds of help, Gloria, have you seen come from the city and the state since we last talked May 20th, You know, have you also seen federal level assistance?
I did see one of the days that I was over at my place, just stopping back by because there's a team there doing some clean out. I saw representatives from FEMA there, and they were canvassing the neighborhood. And mm-hmm. so I did have an opportunity to stop and talk to them. They encouraged me to put in an application. Although we have insurance, they said that if there's anything above insurance that needs to be covered, they could do that. So they took application on site. So I did see that. But from the cities so far, I think that they are trying to move some mm-hmm. things forward. I'm actually going to a community meeting tonight at Herbert Hoover Boys and Girls Club to hear from the leadership in the 11th and 12th ward and also from the mayor. So I think a lot of that is still being fleshed out. And it's moving a little bit slower than I'd like. But I think that it's certainly coming.
Mm-hmm. Gloria, you are among those who do have insurance. You've mentioned this. And you actually had multiple adjusters come to your house. What has the outcome of that been so far?
So far, nothing. It is it's so slow. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had to meet all different types of people coming in, testing for lead, testing for asbestos, people checking on the air conditioning, people coming to see what went on with the roof and give a quote maybe for masonry and the mold mitigation and all of those, just different folks from the insurance company to write up the synopsis of everything that's taken place. But we, you know, still are waiting to hear back. And so we don't have any of those final, you know, numbers or final details on how to proceed as mm-hmm. of yet.
How are you dealing with that uncertainty?
It's really stressful. It's stressful. It's frustrating because when you think about it, this is our life and it's just on hold. And I know people are doing their jobs and they're doing the best that they can while we just wait. We just wait. And so sometimes you call a person and you're wanting a response back and they don't have that time that day because they're working with someone else. And so it's a waiting game mm-hmm. and it's unfortunate. But I know we'll get through it.
Yeah. You are not spending this time, you know, sitting around, obviously. But you are doing some very intentional sitting and you've been visiting your neighborhood and your home on a regular basis. What is it that you see from there, Gloria?
Well, I see the aftermath. And I think it's really like reality is setting in for a lot of people. Some people have heard responses back from the insurance and there are people out, you know, stacking bricks up to haul away. There are, you know, plenty of tarps. There are, you know, folks camping out. And so there's a wide range of what people are dealing with today. But for me, it's a sad space to be in. And so I just go and hang out sometimes and sit on my porch. Mm-hmm. I think that some people have taken advantage of this bad situation where they're, you know, stealing copper and materials that they can maybe make a buck off of. And so I want to make sure that our property is protected and that people know that, you know, there is a presence and mm-hmm. so that they shouldn't just feel free to, you know, try to walk in or anything like that. So, but it's, you know.
So it's a we're still here.
Yes.
Intentional sitting.
We mm-hmm. live here.
Yeah.
This is ours on purpose with purpose.
Mm-hmm. How do you envision recovery? for your neighborhood, especially given some of the interactions you've had with your neighbors who, you know, maybe in very varying states of displacement and, you know, on that road to recovery?
Some people won't come back. That's a sad reality. Some people won't be able to, they don't have the means to come back. And so they might have to move out of the city or you know, just in another part of the city. That's the part that breaks my heart, because we were already struggling. We already had a lot of dilapidated buildings, vacant lots, things like that. And I think that we'll see more of that without some strong effort to really help people put the pieces back together.
Mm-hmm. In our final minute, what is something that you have done, Gloria, to keep your spirits up, you know, to ensure that you are living in the now and experiencing joy in spite of the conditions?
Yeah. Well, my husband and I, our anniversary, we celebrated 18 years on May 14th. And so I had planned out a date for us, and it just happened. So we finally did. We went on that date.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was nice. We found clothes. We found some of our things. And we did take a pause to celebrate that. We went to a family member's wedding in between when the storm happened and now. And tomorrow, my son Evan is turning 11.
Mm-hmm.
Evan is 11.
Okay.
tomorrow. And so we're going to carve out a celebration for him.
Mm-hmm.
And keep our eyes on, you know, the beautiful future, but also realizing what all we have yet left to do.
Right. Gloria Nolan is a resident homeowner and landlord in the O'Fallon neighborhood in North St. Louis. Her family is among many local residents who were displaced and impacted by the May 16th tornado. Gloria, thank you so much for talking with us today. Happy birthday to Evan, 11.
Thank you.
And we appreciate your catching us up on what your experience has been so far.
Thank you so much. It's not over, people. Still reach out. Still try to help. Do what you can to help us truly recover from what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
This episode was produced by Elaine Chow.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.